Fine, you turn your Bibles, if you will, over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Consideration about this Thanksgiving holiday that we have, and I count it to be a blessing. It's a great holiday. I think it's a God-honoring holiday. I believe we've got a little bit of biblical backup for doing so. I find this connection interesting. And just wanted to bring out in consideration of it, wanted to bring out about the Feast of Tabernacles. You've heard me refer to that from time to time. This is a feast that the Lord gave the nation of Israel. We don't observe the Feast of Tabernacles, but the principle that lies within it is what I'm interested in just taking a look at tonight. Just a handful of scriptures and just give you something to chew on and consider about our by the declaration or the proclamation of our president, George Washington. It was the beginning. I think Congress asked our president, you know, what about a day? Would you determine a day for thanks and praise to the Lord? He determined a day, and I've even got that. I don't know if I'll read any of it or not, but I got that. And Brother Doug referred to it here not too long ago. But it's interesting that he did so. And then other presidents have done so, and then Lincoln did so after the Civil War, and also put that day of thanks and the blessings of God in November. And then I think FDR had some changes to it or declaring of it. There was a time in our country that maybe some of you are old enough to remember this. I can't remember the dates, but I think it was within the 20th century that there was a time that some of the states, they celebrated it the last Thursday of the year, and then I think FDR looked to move it forward one Thursday to the third Thursday. And so we were, as a country, there were some states that said, no, it's the last Thursday, and other states went ahead and did it, celebrated it the third Thursday. And then in 1941, Congress unified the day that we celebrate it, and they agreed that it would be the next to the last Thursday in November. And so I found that history interesting. So we have this day in our country. I'm glad for it. I think it's a good thing for us to do so, to be thankful to God. It's not Turkey Day, okay? It's Thanksgiving, and our Thanksgiving is not one to another or to the Indians or to the pilgrims or whatever. It's thanks to God. We thank the Lord for His blessings. And of course, and you find it, you think about it, how it was this year and in previous years, and then you know, the Lord tarries His coming and we're here a few more years or whatever. You'll watch and see, how was it this year? Well, see, Labor Day came, and then the stuff for Halloween pretty much came out on the shelves, right? And then when Halloween was done, Christmas stuff was already right behind it. The world, or our country, doesn't give much thought to Thanksgiving other than ordering a good store of turkeys, because they are interested in the business, right? But I find that very interesting, and it's a day that's certainly a Lord-honoring day and a Lord-centered day. It should be. And what? Look how it is with our country. It started by the proclamation of our presidents, but now it remains, I believe, only on the calendar from the standpoint of us as a nation, just for the sake of the little bit of commerce that it brings. But it's the day that should rate the highest in our nation, because of the blessing and provision and bounty of the Lord upon us. That's been a facet, His hand upon our country, as the reason we are, as a country, who we are. And we should thank Him, but we're taking the Lord out of it. Israel was given by the Lord a similar type of celebration, okay? And we just want to look at that tonight real quick. Leviticus 23, verse 33. Let's take a look at Leviticus 23, verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the 15th day, the 7th month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So this wasn't a day, but it was a week. Okay? On the first day shall be an holy convocation. They all meet together. You shall go, and you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I think we've even taken a look at some of these sacrifices, possibly. And on the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. So there's another meeting of all the people there. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So it's like a Sabbath. It is a these Sabbaths are the Lord's adding to them. There is the one Sabbath that happens each week, but then there are other Sabbaths. And so these, the Lord outlines these here. And this is going to be a celebration of feasts that's going to last for a week. And they're to do no work in it. Verse number 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Pardon me, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, burnt offering and a meat offering, sacrifice, drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto the Lord. So there's other things that the children of Israel would purpose to do, but this is in addition to it, okay? There's that Sabbath that's happening every week, but then this is in addition to it. Verse number 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land. So it's after harvest, isn't it? It's after harvest, and the Lord, I think it's in this passage, or one of the passages we're going to read, it's going to make reference here. You shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And so that's a part of it, rejoicing for the Lord. I didn't look up this passage, but there is a passage in the Old Testament. I'm thinking it's in Jeremiah, Isaiah, something like that, that a fault that the God had with the children of Israel is that they did not rejoice before him as they served. And the Lord commands here to rejoice. To rejoice before him. He says, and ye shall rejoice, the end of verse number 40, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. The Lord's condemnation to them in that passage I'm referring to is that they did not rejoice before him, but service to the Lord was a burden. Verse 41, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month, so it is a celebration. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israel born shall dwell in booths, and that your generations may be know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So there was this week that the children of Israel had to come to the place that the Lord would set his name in time. And they would have this week celebration. So there was preparation. They had to load up. They had to make the trip. They had to get there. They made these booths. And what are the kids doing? Why are we doing this? Right? Is that what the kids are doing? Dad, why do we have to get all this wood? How long are we going to stay? The kids are asking their questions, right? Well, the purpose was is that kids, children, this is how the Lord, this is what our ancestors did, what our forefathers did, and the Lord bringing us out of Egypt. He delivered us, and that's what our forebears did, as they lived in these booths, as they went on their way. And this is a time to commemorate the blessing of the Lord in the harvest, and the blessing of the Lord of his deliverance. Remember how it was with Israel? Israel went down into Egypt, 70 souls or so, and then came out a mighty nation, and came out a very wealthy nation, and was given the land of Canaan, houses they didn't build, gardens and fields they didn't plant, cattle that they had not overseen. God laid on them a great blessing. They're to remember it, okay? They're to remember it. And they're to give in that, celebrate and give thanksgiving to the Lord. Over in Deuteronomy 16, let's take a look over there, Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse number 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. So there it is after the harvest. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, everybody, the manservant, maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. Everybody's to rejoice before the Lord, to celebrate this time of the blessing of God. 7 days Shalt thou keep the solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. See, they don't know about Jerusalem yet, but the Lord's going to make a place. So can you imagine being up in Ephraim, that's to the north, up there on the outskirts, making the trip every year? You plan to make the trip after harvest to go camping in Jerusalem. I mean, isn't that, the Lord made it to where everybody went camping in Jerusalem, or in all of Israel would go and camp. Can you imagine what the city and the surroundings of the city would look like? All these little booths. All the palm trees and missing a bunch of limbs and leaves and all that. They would prepare for it, and they'd take what they would need to do so, and they would celebrate before the Lord. 7 days, verse number 15. 7 days shalt thou keep the solemn feast of the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thy hands. So here tells the reason why. Therefore shalt thou surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And the feast of unleavened bread is one. The feast of weeks is another. And in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So here it's told about there's going to be a place, and you're going to have to not just do it at home, but load up. And everybody went. Everybody was supposed to go, right? Who stayed behind and watched the stuff? Who watched the place? Who watched the homestead? Nobody. Because the Lord said, there is a passage, and I didn't look that up, but there is a passage in the Scripture that says, when you go down to worship me, this is the paraphrase of it, when you go down to worship me and leave your place and everything, I'll keep the enemy off of it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord commanded it to be done. Well, thankfulness to Him. You know, in Deuteronomy 31, we'll not turn there. In verse number 10, though, it says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, they were to read the Word of God. So every 7 years at the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody was brought down there, the kids, the babies, the older folks. Everybody came down there, and for that week, they would read the Word of God so they could hear what God did for the nation. And so, you know, if you were 3 years old when you went, and that was the seventh year, and so then you heard it at three and say, well, you didn't understand much, you'd be surprised what kids understand. And then at 10, you'd hear it again. At 17, you'd hear it again, right? 24, you'd hear it again. And the Word of God was read, because it wasn't common, you know, for everybody to have a copy of it. In Zechariah chapter 14, I tell you what, this I've told you before, I am just really humored by this. Look at what God is going to require of all those that are there during the millennial reign. In Zechariah chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse number 16. Zechariah 14, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Well, in thanksgiving, is that not what we do? We worship the king. We thank the Lord for his blessings upon us in every way. During the time, 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, everybody that was left living is going to be required to load up from South Africa, South America, Western North America, Canada, Alaska. Whoever's left is going to have to load up and come to Jerusalem. I just think that's a hoot. I do. Because, see, the Lord says, you're going to come down here and worship me. Worship the king. Why? For the same thing. And because, see, the Feast of Tabernacles is after the harvest, and to thank the Lord for his blessing. Everyone that is left of all the nations shall come against Jerusalem, even shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up. They'll go there, and if the Lord holds them to it, they'll be cutting limbs off the willows and limbs off the palm trees, and they'll be building little booths. And they'll be saying, why are we doing this? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded it to be done, because he delivered his nation out of Israel. And so we don't care a lick about this, but yeah, if we don't come do it, we'll be sorry. Because that's what the Lord said to do. And come down there for a week. Can you imagine the investment, or, you know, however it'll be? I don't know. Maybe we'll be hauling them all over there. Come over here. Carry them over there. Wow, wouldn't that be something? I don't know. I don't know how it is that they'll get there, but they'll have to do that. And in verse 17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up with the families of the earth in Jerusalem, see that? There's at least representatives to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It will be kept. No rain. What happens with no rain? You don't have anything to be thankful with or about. But the thing is with that, when there's nothing to be thankful about coming from the harvest, you're going to get hungry. You're going to be hungry. Okay? I say just you in the general sense. And so he'll smite him with this plague. And listen, verse number 19. Listen to this. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so thanksgiving to the Lord is something that he placed in his nation. I think we're blessed in our nation with a day to celebrate that. And we surely need to be thankful to the Lord in all things. A couple more scriptures. Hebrews 13. Just take a look over here. New Testament scriptures speaking to we as the Lord's children. In Hebrews 13, the scripture says in verse number 15, Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually by Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We're to be a thankful people. We have much to be thankful for, don't we? Indeed we do, in every way, from the salvation of our souls on. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, those sacrifices from our lips of thanksgiving to God, God is well pleased. Psalm 100. Remember this one. And here, the psalmist is lining up with what the Lord said in our service to him, that we should rejoice in it. In Psalm 100, verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, right? Serve him with gladness, with a smile on your face. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We're to be a thankful people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't stop there, because it says, for in the giving of thanks in everything, in everything give thanks, because in doing so, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me and us together, to thank God, thank the Lord for his blessings. And then, lastly, in Colossians chapter 3, take a look over here. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, church at Colossae, right? We're called to such. We're called to peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. I'm glad to read, and I've got this here from our President George Washington and his proclamation that a day be set apart in that particular year for Thanksgiving. And it was Thanksgiving to God, right? Not to themselves, not to another nation. For support in the pursuits of our country and those leaders that we had in that day, but it was thankfulness to God for what he had done.